preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness from all across the globe. This is Animal Radio Network.
And it is Animal Radio's annual horse special.
Woohoo!
Our equine show, All Horse Talk today, with special guest horse whisperer Monty Roberts.
Ooh,
joining
the one
us
and
today.
Only, huh?
Yeah, but first, from Good Morning America, Dr. Marty Becker.
Hello, friend.
How are you doing?
I am busier than a squirt gun battle in a forest fire.
You sound a little bit tired, Doc.
Oh, my gosh. So I'll have to pick it up here. But, oh, man, I've been in Canada and Seattle, and I'm in Portland. I'm headed to New York and then back to Vegas. And
big horse show today, and I wanted to bring you on to talk about chicken soup for the horse lover's soul, too.
Yeah, hey, one thing I just want to tell you, too, I'm really proud of that book, and I didn't bring my copy or any support material, so don't pin me down on a story.
I want to know exactly on page 52.
I'll have to use my media training, Hal. Well, I like that story too, but let me tell you a different story.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. Well, I love the back. You have a list on the back. You know you're a horse lover when.
That's all original stuff.
Is it?
That came from, we have a reader's panel. So the same reader's panel, I sent it out and said, just be creative. You know what? And I kind of gave them two or three ideas. Maybe more than that, maybe 5 ideas, 10 ideas, and then said, what else you come up with? And then they just sent these great things, and then we just kept sending out and distilling it down. So those all came from...
Well, it says, one of them, and you can probably relate, that your paycheck barely covers your food bill, but all your horses eat premium foods. That's how you know you're a horse lover. It's not cheap. Let me ask you a question. Let's say in your practice, perhaps a father-daughter come in and daughter wants a pony, and maybe she doesn't understand the complexities of owning a horse. What would you say to the daughter? Because in this day and age, more and more young ladies are getting horses at 17 years of age.
Right. Well, you know what's remarkable? Today, just on television, I was sitting there in my Portland, Oregon hotel room, and I see the thing on about the horse from the Kentucky Derby and its injury, and we're following as the leading story. And then there's the lady in Hamburg, Germany, who had the 7-year-old, her apartment's on fire, and the child drops to safety, but she holds the cat. You know, she's going down with the cat because this cat is a family member. I grew up on a farm and ranch in southern Idaho, and we had every species of animal except horses. My father had been injured on a horse. Mm. He had us all spooked, and no pun intended. You know, he no county fair, no pony there, no going out with the other neighbors and riding horses. And I went to veterinary school, and as of the 70 kids in my class, about 20 of them were thought of as like golden retrievers with hooves, and 50 of us were varying degrees of terrified. You know, like that racehorse you watched on TV that had the leg surgery. You know, that guy's so calm and the horse is dancing around behind it, and I'd have been like the, you know, the Larry Gatlin, you know, the 100-meter champion, you know, running out of there. But it really took my daughter. Is just exactly like you were talking about, where she wanted a horse. She'd ridden horses on these vacations. She'd ridden horse at church camp and wanted a horse. And my wife reignited her childhood love of horses. And I tell you, there's a lot worse things for somebody than to be horse crazy, because
sure.
That's what they'll become.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote a story called They Nay, I Pay, which was kind of a parody about, you know, all of a sudden you got to get the crew cab pickup, and all of a sudden you got to get the featherlight horse trailer, and all of a sudden you got a saddle that's got more silver on it than a Mexican silver shop in Cancun. And I didn't know, literally, I had no idea there were lycra bodysuits for horses.
Yeah.
Wow.
And fake tails that they had, had to put a hairpiece on the horse's tail. But, you know, there's a special connection, especially between young girls and horses, that ends up being a special relationship between mature women and horses that is one of the most magical, unexplained things that... As a scientist, I've tried to look into it and figure out, you know, what is that makes that special connection? So I pulled all these people and tried to do articles on it, and really it's one of those mysteries that's meant to be appreciated and not really understood at this point.
Yeah.
I know a few people who are into their horses, and they don't go halfway. I don't know any horse people that go halfway. They go all out for their horses.
And it costs a little bit of money. I mean, it's like buying a boat or an RV or even a house or anything like that. This new friend of the family is just going to be a bottomless pit of spending a lot of money, but there is that connection.
Well, you know, if you read the stories in there, one of the things that you've had other horse, other chicken soup people on there before, but the way the formula works, it doesn't matter. Like we had, you know, Monty Roberts, the horse whisperer. We had right. Wayne Newton from Las Vegas, Mr. Las Vegas, who's huge in the Arabian world. And all the Pat Pirelli, you know, the famed horse trainer, lots of people submitted stories that didn't get selected. Mm-hmm. I myself submitted 5 stories and only had 2 of mine selected. So you read a story in there about my daughter, which is a true story about feeling overweight, moving up to a different school, feeling mm-hmm. disconnected, and how she found this acceptance and this love through her horse.
It really changed her life.
It changed her life. And you read my wife, who this is the funniest story. My wife is competing with my daughter in horse shows, and rather than the wife being out there telling the young daughter, Mikkel, you're going to do great, just do your best, that's all we ask, it's my wife throwing up behind the horse barn because she's so nervous, and my daughter telling my wife, Mom, you're going to do good, just do your best, you know, and it's so humorous to just find the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, which are both great in the horse showing world. I you know, it's really funny about horses too. If you look back just 100 years ago, whether it's in your studios in Utah, it's up in Oregon where I'm at now, it's my hometown in Bonners Ferry, Idaho, wherever you are across the nation, 100 years ago, horses were the F-150 pickup. Mm-hmm. That's how you got from point A to point B. They were the John Deere tractor. That's how you worked your fields. And they, just like our dogs used to have a utilitarian role, mm-hmm. they were working horses. And now the gift that they give us, the job that they do, is an emotional connection primarily. And it's really neat, too, that, you know how I joke about this over the years, long after people have forgotten about wanting to be a nurse or a fireman or a policeman or a jet fighter pilot, they still want to be a veterinarian. And there's many people that had that childhood love of horses, and it may have only come from a book. It may have only come from Black Beauty. It may have come from seeing the movie Seabiscuit, but mm-hmm. they don't even have to look out their window and see that love manifested in a horse out in the pasture, out the window, to still have that deeply visceral love of horses.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a horse in our neighborhood, and we drive by it several times a day, and he's out there with either a bucket or a rope, just standing out there, swinging it around, just having a good time. And I just always want to stop and just be there and be a part of him. He's just having such a good time.
Oh, I love the way you do. You know, there's, when they talk about horseplay, there's a reason that word comes up. They do love to play. Mm-hmm. They're very social animals. One of the things that just, I'm so against seeing dogs that are chained up all the time. Them sure. being social animals and wanting a sensory experience and to manifest their genetic exuberance, and the same thing for horses that are either solitary or don't have visual contact with other horses or vocal contact is really rough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing with horses, it's, you go back, you know, horse racing was popular 700 years before Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, and if the first images you see in Lascaux, France, on the cave walls, it's horses. I mean, they've been with us so long.
Well, speaking of the horse racing there, the Derby and the, what is Barbera was her name, that broke her leg?
Yeah.
What was the deal? And it takes a little longer for the leg of a horse to heal, huh?
Well, here's the thing, and we dealt with racehorses in veterinary school. You know, the student in front of me would go in there, and he'd mentally manhandle, not physically, but he was just mentally take control of the stall, and the horse would submit and lay its head across his shoulder, and I'm thinking, I'm not worthy, and then to come at that time, just Marty Becker, you know, the junior veterinary student's turn, and I'd look at this horse going, don't kill me, I'm 21 years old. But horses are, it's really funny if you look at those thoroughbreds. They run in a circular pattern. If you think of the way they run, their right rear foot hits first, then their left rear foot, and then their left front foot, and then their right front foot, and then they go airborne. So they're all 4 feet off the ground, then they hit back on that right rear foot again, start this circular pattern, a big leap, circular pattern, and a leap. And so here you've got this animal that weighs, say, 1,000 to 1,200 pounds that is running, you know, 35 miles an hour in a curve, or is in a short burst, it's even faster, putting all that weight. And the way they're built, you know, they're not, you and I would look at a horse and go, that's a nice-looking horse, but the way they look at them, they're knock-kneed, they have a certain kind of conformation that makes them explosive athletes. But they're, when you look at the size of that actual bone, mm-hmm. the horse that is very fragile. And they do what's called a chiropractic maneuver. You know, that horse is a likes to win, it likes to be out front, and it's making a burst, and something is just wrong, and then it's, you know, it's really hard to keep them. You know, what you really have to do with a human, you know, if you have something that's not stable, you can tell them you can't bear weight on that, that you do these exercises or put, you know, 50% of your weight on it. But a horse really has to be prepared with the way it's repaired to support their entire weight.
Wow.
Now, Dr. Marty Becker joining us. Chicken soup for the horse lover's soul. I have a couple of, this is the number two, by the way. I have a couple of copies I'll give away at 1-866-405-8405.
My wife is my co-author, and this is the same woman that told me with the first book that she kept telling me we should do a horse book, and I said, oh, Teresa, I don't think the market's that big, and plus I don't think people feel the same way about their horses as they do their dogs and cats. So you know how that's history.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She was so wise, and she wrote the introduction, and it's a really a beautiful book. The other thing on horses, too, there's, if you can tell if you love horses, the one litmus test, if you love the smell of horse manure, and especially horse manure mixed with shavings. You know, nobody, as many people as you have interviewed or have contacted you via email or their letters or off your website or phone calls, nobody calls up and loves to go out in the backyard and smell dog manure. And nobody loves to clean this with the, you know, the aroma, the ambrosia from the cat box.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I, for one, I love going up there in that horse barn and having that manure mixed with those shavings. Ooh, man, I love that. So does a lot of other people.
Oh, if you can only bottle it.
First thing in the morning, I tell you. Dr. Marty Becker, thanks for joining us again.
You guys are good friends, and thanks for having me on.
Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Monty Roberts, the Horse Whisperer, in just a few minutes. Animal Radio brought to you by BioSpot, the premium flea and tick control product for your dog or cat. Check it out. Good stuff. One application keeps pets free of fleas and ticks for up to 4 weeks. BioSpot is available at your local pet store or visit www.biospot.com. 1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
My name's Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Where are you calling from?
Ventura.
Listening on Coast or K-Big in Los Angeles, what can we do for you?
I was wondering if you know anything about depression in cats.
Ooh, depression in cats. Well, I don't know. Judy, do cats suffer from depression?
You know, it's not that uncommon. They actually
really?
Do. Yeah, people think that they don't, but they actually do. They can suffer depression just like a human can.
Oh, and what are the causes?
Well, basically, a lot of them are causes that humans. It can be grief over a family divorce or somebody has died or another pet has died.
Really?
It can be separation anxiety. If you leave the animal alone and you're gone, you know, on vacation for several weeks, there's many reasons. Any kind of changes in a household, any new changes can actually depress a cat.
Oh, okay, because they like the same familiar stuff.
Is there anything new going on in your household?
Not at all.
Not at all. Sometimes even the introduction of a new cat can bring on depression. And, no, and, well, sometimes, you know what, that can actually be boredom.
Boredom? Boredom can cause depression?
Boredom can cause depression. Another thing is they pick up on your feelings. If you're walking around the house, you're kind of mopey, you're kind of down, you feel your world is coming to an end, your cat picks up on that and thinks his world is coming to an end.
Boy, that explains a lot around my household, I'll tell you that right now. Are there treatments, Judy, for depression in cats?
Well, there's things you can do. You kind of want to make his life a little more exciting. You want to spend a little more time with him. You can get him new toys. You want to interact with him. You want to play with him about a half an hour every day. The first thing you want to do when you come home is you want to talk to him and greet him like he's just, you know, the best thing in the world. And when you're making dinners, you know, he'll be in there. You can talk to him throughout dinner. And you can try new foods for him, some new and exciting flavors. And you can tie strings and stuff around the house for him to play with when you're gone. And if
what about medicines? The common medicines that treat humans, like Prozac. I've heard that animals can use that.
There actually are medicines you can use on your cats. Of course, first thing you want to do is you want to take them to the vet and make sure that there's no physical reasons, you know, that he's feeling this way.
Uh-huh.
But there's also, it's called a grief and pining formula from Pet Alive.
Is that like an herbal
medicine? It's all herbal. It's all homeopathic. You actually put it on its tongue. It's kind of granules you sprinkle on its tongue. It's something that you can use infrequently, or you can use it continually depending upon your pet acts. But sometimes just using this, you'll notice a difference in just a matter of days.
And of course, never give your Prozac to your cat.
No, there are certain
doses that they could take there. Do you think any of that will help there, Kirsten?
I don't know.
Do you think your cat's bored, or do you, I mean, any ideas why it might be depressed or down?
I have no clue, because I talk to him every day. I'm not moping around the house or anything.
Okay.
I don't know. I got him a cat way back in December.
You got your cat a cat, so they have friends. He has friends.
So he's not bored.
Okay.
And that's been a while, so it's nothing new.
Then I'd hate to say this, but the first thing I would say is if it's real obvious, if it's becoming very apparent, that you might just want to check in with the vet real fast to make sure there's not some kind of underlying.
I took him to the vet 3 months ago.
Really? Uh-huh. And nothing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's still a variety of things you can do. There's aromatherapy.
Oh.
Cats like lavender oil. It's very calming.
And it's not bad for you, too. So
no,
it's
there's massage.
The guardian or the cat?
Well, you might need it, too. But basically, you can massage your cat. And, you know, sometimes just a lot of exercise. You know, find a toy your cat likes to chase and just, you know, kind of wear him out and make him play a little more.
He just doesn't want to do anything.
He has no desire. Huh?
He's just sleeping. I just came home with 2 toys for him.
Don't even do it for him.
Mm-hmm. You know, when they lay around like that, that's, you know, a sign of depression when they just want to sleep a lot.
That's one of the symptoms. What are other symptoms of depression?
They stop eating.
Or
they go on an eating binge where they just devour everything in sight. And, you know, one thing that you did mention is that they show less interest in their activities, such as playing and exploring. And
new toys.
Yes.
I'm depressed now. Realized what a miserable life I have.
Well, I would try aromatherapy. And I would try some of these drugs that, you know, herbal and homeopathic.
And certainly your veterinarian will be able to tell you what medicines that are not herbal that can help.
Okay.
And let us know how it goes. You know these things, just like they are in humans, they come and go real fast or real slow.
But don't just ignore it and think that it will go away on its own, because it won't. It's something that you're going to have to work with and try to help them come out of it. So don't just ignore it.
Okay.
Thank you for calling today, Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Can someone pass me a razor blade?
Hey, this is Cesar Milan. When I'm not doing the dog whisper, I'm listening to Animal Radio. Stay balanced.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Oh, looks like you caught me peeking in your bathroom closet. Hi, I'm Bee Humane, star of Bee Humane Goes Shopping. Perhaps you've heard of me. You've got a lot of stuff that was tested on animals. Shampoo, cleaner, mascara. Did you know that some of these companies still test their products on animals? Throw this stuff out. You see, you have a choice when buying your household and cosmetic products. You can make a difference for animals by only buying cruelty-free products. What? How do you know these products are cruelty-free? Request a free compassionate shopping guide from AAVS. To know which companies are cruelty-free, just call 1-800-SAY-AAVS or visit www.aavs.org and look for my movie, Be Humane, Go Shopping. Don't forget, 1-800-SAY-AAVS or visit www.aavs.org.
Hi, Hal Abrams with Animal Radio, and I want to tell you about a very powerful novel. Animal Instinct is a page-turning book on crusading for the animals that you and I can relate to. You'll read about Eleanor Green as she quits her job and joins the animal rights movement. Eleanor believes that animals are her true calling, and she endures the daily batterings from her tyrant boss to gain some kindness for the animals. Not only will you be shocked and amazed at the unexpected outcome, you'll be moved by her plight along the way. Animal Instinct is available at bookstores everywhere and at Animal Instinct Novel.
We join our team investigating a mysterious malady afflicting beloved pets.
Dr. Boulder, what is it?
Strange, Sally. These cats and dogs, they're scratching everywhere.
What could be causing this, Boulder?
Upon closer inspection, I've found these...
Encephalitis felis, the common flea?
Yes, millions of them.
No worry, these pets are saved. XFleas.com specializes in flea and heartworm prevention. That's www.xfleas.com. The cure is out there.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
The Animal Minute is brought to you by Doggone It Lawn Repair and Gee Whiz for dogs, natural and organic. Doggone It Lawn Repair heals yellow spots in your lawn, while Gee Whiz prevents urine burns before they start. Available at local pet stores, grocery stores, or lawn and garden stores. To learn more, visit www.earthsbalance.com.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
An upscale German restaurant says your dog is welcome, but keep those crying kids at home. Peter DeGlay, the owner of Boheme, says his customers work hard and don't come to his restaurant to hear children crying. He says they want peace and quiet and have complained to him on several occasions. Now people with children are complaining. Some people are protesting while others are applauding the new rule. DeGlay, the father of two, doesn't understand what all the fuss is about. He says children are welcome at lunch, just not at dinner, when he says they should be home sleeping anyway. So for now, at Boheme, you and your dog can make a dinner reservation. Just keep the barking to a minimum, please. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You work hard to keep your lawn green. So stop chasing your dog around to prevent those yellow spots. Doggone It Lawn Repair heals lawns from dog or cat urine without reseeding or resodding. You can even prevent urine burns before they start with Gee Whiz for dogs. Both Doggone It and Gee Whiz, all natural and organic products, are available at local pet stores, grocery stores, or lawn and garden stores. To have the best lawn on the block, visit www.earthsbalance.com. That's earthsbalance.com.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness
from all across the globe.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Hi, Monty Roberts.
Are you Hal?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm in a beautiful part of the world.
Where is that?
Lake County. I'm in Clear Lake, California. It's up in the mountains north of San Francisco. There's beauty here abounds.
near Sacramento, is that correct?
Well, yeah, it's actually over the mountains to the west of Sacramento, on the border of the wine country, and the grapes are doing fine here.
I bet they are.
Sounds beautiful.
Home is solving, so you must be doing business, I guess?
Pro bono.
Okay.
I'm here for the Lake County School District, and I am undertaking a program to attempt to bring a more excellent education program to Lake County. I'm working a lot in schools these days.
Oh, very good. Multifaceted. Well, the new book, Monty Roberts, The Horses in My Life. Of course, everybody loves The Man Who Listens to Horses, and you did Shy Boy also.
Yeah.
This is your third one. It seems to be doing very well. Tell the listeners a little bit about the horses in your life and what they're going to find in the book.
I will. This is my sixth one.
Oh, wow.
And it is doing very well. It came out a year ago in England and a year ago in Germany, and it really has done well. And the early calls here in the United States are really pretty overwhelming. It is 52 horses that most indelibly fixed, you know, set my life, caused me to be who I am. And horses, I put two necklaces right up front, and the Indians used to make necklaces, the American Indian, with turquoise, and they would tell their life story, and I just put 52 turquoise horses on a string, and that's my life. And if it hadn't been for horses, my life would just be a string. And I love them. They were my providers. They were my protectors, my educators. They were everything to me. I wrote about my first horse and my second horse, and then it jumps around because they were, those first two, very indelible in their imprint on me.
Mm-hmm.
But as I went through my life, then those jumped out that did something to teach me why I'm verified by them that violence is never the answer.
Mm-hmm. So you and your father had a different idea of the way to, what do you, if you want to call it, break a horse or train a horse?
I guess he was a little more rough, wasn't he?
I guess you could put it that way. Yeah, he was on the roughest end of traditional.
Uh-huh.
And I don't believe in any violence at all uh-huh. with horses. So I guess it's 180 degrees away, but that's right. I grew up in the traditional horsemanship, and it was tough on them, and tough on me, too. I had 71 broken bones
uh-huh.
before I was 12 years of age.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was really off the scale. And but, you know, the horses did protect me, and they did teach me. And they sent me out there to take the world a message that violence is not the answer.
I loved your story about the Mustang that you communicated when you went on a roundup, and it was...
This was a wild horse roundup?
Yes, that's right, capturing wild horses.
And you were able to communicate with the horses and at everybody's amazement at the time?
That's absolutely right, although it wasn't then amazement, it was... jaw-dropping.
Yes.
And what kind of a witch is he, and we're going to have to beat the damn devils out of him,
oh,
you know? Nobody believed what I did, and finally, the BBC took me into the wilderness, and I did it with a Mustang in the wilderness with no 20th century facilities at all, and
uh-huh.
the world could see it.
And they followed you, and the Queen has a lot to do with... validating your techniques, your gentleness techniques.
My word, yes. She demanded on the demanded the first book, and I never would have been an author if it hadn't been for the Queen. I didn't think of myself as an author. And then she guided me by saying, you can't do a hands-on book, the first one. It has to be an autobiography. And then she read and said, oh, my word, this isn't right. What you have to do is get one of those tape recorders and just tell us a story. Just tell us what happened in conversational terms. And that's what I've done with my books, and I hope they are a conversation. And people are telling me that this last book, The Horses in My Life, is really a conversation with me about those horses.
It is wonderful, and we have 5 copies to give away to share with listeners who appreciate this. Monty Roberts, The Horses in My Life, 1-866-405-8405. Do you have plans for another book?
I'm working on another book right now, and this one is about a specific school in England where it was a failing school in 2000, and it's a center of excellence now, and became that in September of 2004. So in 4 years, it went from the bottom 2% of 34,000 schools to the top 5%.
What type of school is it? Is it equine?
Not at all.
Oh.
Okay, so where's the common thread? Tell us the thread there.
If I told you there was a baby born the other night, and that baby needed to be loved and cherished, and it needed to be nurtured and protected, would I be talking about a horse baby or a human baby?
We don't know.
You don't know. They're the same. Babies are babies, human babies, and horses are both flight animals, and they're both dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
And education without violence is critical for the horse. And I'm finding that there's more violence than you can imagine in our school systems, even if it's words can hurt as much as whips can. And so intimidation and coercion is all over the place, and that's what I'm here for now. And I just got back from Australia working with the Aboriginal kids. And, Kingshurst Junior School, Birmingham, is an inner-city school with kids 5 to 11 years of age. And they've never touched a horse,
mm-hmm.
those kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the metaphor is... unbelievably strong, and they used my concepts top to bottom in that school, and it really made a difference.
Well, your concepts are universal, whether they're applied to equines or anything.
That's absolutely right. Could be even training deer or jackrabbits.
You're very informative.
Very good.
We appreciate you taking time to visit with us today.
Hey, I appreciate you calling and giving me a chance to talk about my book. I know that people will love it, and it's really a gift book for young people who are interested in horses. It's inspirational, I think.
The Horses in My Life by Monty Roberts. We'll let you go. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful guy. Remember, never buy from a breeder. Spay and neuter your animal.
Yep.
And there's lots and lots and lots more at animalradio.com. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio
Network.